Welcome back to the Reverse Autoimmune Disease Summit, everybody. This is, of course, version 5.0. We're talking about healing the energy body. I am so happy to bring to you Dr. Isaac Elias, who is an expert in the field of integrative medicine, focusing on cancer, detoxification, immunity, and complex conditions of all kinds. He's a respected physician, researcher, best-selling author, educator, and mind-body practitioner. He partners with leading research institutes, including Harvard, the National Institutes of Health, Columbia, and others, to co-author studies on integrative therapies for cancer, heavy metal toxicity, and other things. He's the founder and medical director of Amitabha Medical Clinic in Santa Rosa, California, where he's pioneered the use of therapeutic apheresis as an adjunctive blood filtration treatment for chronic degenerative conditions. Welcome to the Summit Series, Dr. Elias.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk about this, such an important topic.
Yes. Yeah. I would love to hear first how you came to this body of research. Everyone has their own unique story, and I would love to hear yours.
Yes. So my journey with healing started very early. When I say very early, it's as a teenager. My father was a civil engineer. I'm a native of Israel. We were in South Korea, and I got exposed there to Taekwondo. I was lucky. I practiced with the Korean national team because they had to learn English. And this time there were the, like all the world champions. I learned yoga, and I got exposed to Buddhism indirectly by going to local Buddhist temples.
Hence the Amitabha. I was like, oh, that's a Buddhist. Buddha in the top of Tara's top knot. Exactly. So I really wanted to hear where that came from. So
Well, this is not from there, but later on. So when I went to medical school in Israel, which is 6 years and a 1 year internship, I knew I'm going to do integrative medicine. So I got trained. I became a yoga teacher. I taught in yoga teacher's course. I learned shiatsu. I learned 3 years acupuncture. I started teaching acupuncture with the Hebrew University to doctors. So as I graduated from medical school, I had this other expertise. And then I left everything, and my wife, Gillian, my daughter, we came to San Francisco. I did a Master of Science in Chinese medicine. And at this, I was meditating all my life, but at this point I got very involved with Buddhism. And my specialty through Chinese medicine first and through integrative medicine has been the treatment of cancer for decades, and difficult to treat illnesses. Because when you really look at, if you're treating the person and not the illness, then everything is possible. And then I got very unusual training in meditation with a focus on healing. So I spent almost 20 years. I would go every year for 2 months to the mountains to meditate. And for 10 years, I spent half a day on retreat, half a day working. And I had the privilege to treat some of the greatest meditation masters in the Himalaya. And so I got to learn from them one-on-one, and I got to see their power of healing, like how they can spontaneously heal in a way that you can't really explain. And all of this came together into this body of knowledge that is expressed in my, finally I wrote a book in my early 60s called The Survival Paradox. And in addition, I am an innovator and a researcher. So I've been a very avid and active researcher. So the main compound that I developed, Pectosol, has over 80 published papers. I have a number of NIH grants on the research on galactin 3 removal and sepsis. So I've held both worlds. And interesting from a scientific point of view, got really involved with galactin 3 early on and discovered its role in inflammation and fibrosis. Only later on I understood it's the survival paradox protein and would drive, for example, autoimmunity as an upstream a molecule. And then through therapeutic apheresis, where I treat people outside the body through filtration of the plasma, and through the concept of meditation, where you really understand that if we let go, then everything is possible. And all of this is great relevance for health in general, but specifically for autoimmunity.
Let's back up a little bit about the survival paradox. Can you talk a little bit about this?
Yes, I'll be happy to talk about it. So the survival paradox, as it sounds, is a paradox because we all want to survive. We are built to survive as people, as communities, as nations, and every organ in our body, every cell in our body. So because it's built within us multi-generational, then it's an automated innate quality we have. So immediately it happens through the autonomic nervous system, through the sympathetic system. We either fight, which then drives inflammation. So it's very important, especially in the field of autoimmunity. We know that inflammation relates to autoimmunity and to arthritis and to so many things. But inflammation is not the cause, actually. Inflammation is really a result. So what I'm offering in this concept is a new paradigm shift where we're looking at a deeper level of causality. So we either fight, cause inflammation, and then it will drive all the cytokine storm. So, and we'll talk about it in a moment, or we flight, we run away, we hide, and we create fibrosis. Both are driven by our survival paradox. Both are driven by the survival paradox protein, galactin 3. So when we understand this, we suddenly have an upstream approach that can affect inflammation, regulate it. And one of the issues with the survival response is that we have this sympathetic response where we can just relax, take a deep breath, and the system can relax. But we have a biochemical response, and that's where galactin 3 comes in. And the biochemical response turns within minutes. And that's a lot of my current research that is supported by the NIH. I've shown that in sepsis models, that galactin 3 will rise before interleukin 6, before the cytokine storms. And it's well published that galactin 3 drives all the different cytokines. But when we block galactin 3 or we remove it, we attenuate IL-6, we attenuate kidney damage, and the animals in the model don't die. When people walk in the ICU with sepsis, their level without pre-existing conditions, which means no kidney disease, no heart disease, no cancer, their level of galactin 3 at the time of admission will determine who will die from sepsis. So this violent inflammatory storm that is a result of an infection is very similar to what happened in autoimmunity. Why? Because autoimmunity is an inappropriate survival response. And in this sense, it has great relevance for our topic.
So how is galactin 3 measured?
So galactin 3 is a very simple assay. It's an ELISA assay. It's approved by every insurance and it's done by every lab. It's underused. And for people who know about galactin 3, as somebody who probably has more clinical experience with it than anybody, the standards for galactin 3 were set in very early on, around 2010 to 11, when the test was manual and it was done specifically for patients with congestive heart failure. In this patient, because often their kidneys have some damage, galactin 3 is much higher. So the standards for normal level of galactin 3 is much lower than people are aware of. If your galactin 3 is over 12, it's already a concern. And the levels change based on our genetics, based on our MMP9s, how we break different proteins. Because galactin 3 can come in a single protein molecule, or it can come in pentamers, five of them. But both of them are counted as one by the assay. So you really can't rely on the number. And galactin 3, the survival protein, it has an important role in the embryonal stage. It helps normal kidney development, normal organ development, mainly intranuclear. But then when we are living our life, it protects us by repairing our injuries. And it does it through inflammation and fibrosis. And this process is destructive in every field. So if we look at galactin 3 research, and just to get a sense, close to 10,000 published papers, 10,000. Or we look at the MCP, modified citrus pectin, which is made from the peel of the citrus and modified and is able to block galactin 3, about 80 papers. We look at the benefits. we see cardiovascular disease, we see stroke, we see liver, we see lung, we see kidney, we see NASH, we see immunity, we see integrative care with cancer therapies. Why?
If it's blocked.
Yes. When it's blocked, you stop this damaging process that galactin 3 will cause. Because once it's turned on, it's like an alarm that doesn't turn off. Mm. So this is in general, and it's very, very specific when we look at it from the point of view of autoimmunity.
And how do you block it?
So you block it in a few ways. In the biochemical level, it's very simple. You use something called modified citrus pectin. The one research is called Pectosol. Mm-hmm. And what it does, the galactin 3 has what we call a carbohydrate recognition domain. It's a sugar binding protein or carbohydrate binding protein, not glucose, but other carbohydrate. It delivers different ligands that causes hyperviscosity, inflammation, growth factors to the tissue that is injured. And that's how it causes its damage. So it hears that there is a damage, it drives to the tissue, it binds to the ligand, and it creates a pentamer. And then it creates a lattice formation, literally a coating. You know, the biofilm, for example, which we are so aware of.
I'm going to slow you down because I want people to be able to follow this. So for galactin 3, because it's carbohydrate binding and it uses, I'm seeing if I've got this right, it uses carbohydrate then to create that matrix of damage, right?
Right, but not, it binds to different ligands. And then it creates a pentamer. It can also bind to the membranes, but then this pentamer, think about it. I mean, there are five of them. Think about five of them and another five and another five. They create a coating around the cell.
So sugar gives it what it needs.
The sugar in the protein, the sugar in the lipids, the sugar in the oligosaccharides. Many of them have, you know, glycoprotein, glycolipids. There is very often, very common to have a carbohydrate, a sugar component on proteins, on lipids, and on different damaging molecules. So when it creates this biofilm, this coating, then it creates a separation between the tissue that is being coated and the body. So you will get what you will call a microenvironment, which is often hypoxic, where oxygen doesn't get to it, or it changes the metabolism. For example, if galactin 3 comes to a tissue, or if the area is inflammatory in the macrophage, the cells, the immune cells that clean the tissues in the body, that clean the damage in the body, become inflammatory, then they will also excrete galactin 3. It will block insulin receptors on the cell. So now the cell metabolism is no longer normal. And without going into the biochemistry, the mitochondria will stop working. You get an acidic environment with lactic acid. You get damage to the tissue. You get destructive tissue. And this is a mechanism for cancer.
Right.
Cancer cannot use oxygen, but it's also the mechanism in autoimmunity. So if we look specifically at autoimmunity from a philosophical point of view, and we ask, what is autoimmunity? Autoimmunity is really a part of us attacking ourselves. Mm-hmm. And you know, we actually don't recognize the interdependence and harmony between all the parts of our body. And a certain part goes into a survival mode and attacks out of a survival mode. And that's why in autoimmunity, across all autoimmunity diseases, you see very high levels of galactin 3 in the blood. It's interesting. If you look, for example, at the effect of modified citrus pectin on arthritis. So if it's osteoarthritis, it's not necessarily a survival response. Somebody can have a great lifestyle and they jogged 50 miles a week altogether for 50 years. Their knees are going to give up. You know, it's called osteoarthritis. But if somebody has rheumatoid arthritis, then the benefits of modified citrus pectin or blocking galactin 3 in relationship to the baseline, if they didn't do it, becomes much more dramatic. So until now, we focused on the biochemical. The other parts of really changing it is by switching the way we live our life from a survival mode to a harmony mode. And we are built to do this. And this is why, as you know so well, lifestyle plays such a big role in autoimmunity. Like, autoimmunity is one category where diets are so important, because you are changing the metabolism. So you got your dietary changes, you got your lifestyle changes, you got hydration. And the starting point is you got to address galactin 3. And that's why addressing galactin 3, in my opinion, it's the most important supplement one can use, because it drives, if you look at the data, it drives practically every chronic disease.
So in outside of diet, is there anything else that increases galactin 3?
Yeah, galactin 3 will increase with stress.
Yeah, that's what I would
say. Any stress.
Yeah.
For example, you look at patient post heart attack, MI, the galactin 3 goes up. If you play music to them in the ICU, their galactin 3 levels will go down. And as a result, the damage to the tissue will go down.
Oh, fascinating.
Right. So this is what the other part of what I do, what I teach, is called open heart medicine. If we can move from our head, from our concept, from our reactivity to our heart, then this is the biggest shift that can really heal us. And not surprisingly, galactin 3 is especially damaging for fibrotic type heart failure. Because when galactin 3 creates a lattice formation, when it creates this separation, it creates separation, you know, it creates divisiveness. So right now we live in a society where we are so, you know, it's so easy to get self-absorbed with so much tension and so much in the speed of media and information and political separation and yes, vaccine, no vaccine, and yes, mask and no mask. We lost the ability to hear the other side. So the heart doesn't function in this way. The heart in this sense, and we, if we have time, we'll talk about it a little bit in detail. The heart functions different than any organ in the body. And in this sense, on one end, you have a very simple supplement. And the other hand, you have really a paradigm shift in the way we live our life and we experience reality. And both of them will end up with a benefiting similar conditions.
You know, it's interesting. I spent a couple of months in India years ago. I was getting my master's degree in Ayurvedic medicine. And one of the experiments I chose to engage in was at lunchtime every day, I would take my music and I had a little scholastic notebook, and I would do my pulse diagnosis and measure where I was before I listened to a certain kind of music, during the music, and after the music. And I recorded my pulse response. And so in Ayurvedic medicine, the pulse has many, many different layers, and it's more than just your heart rate. And I found that the one kind of music that would instantly put me into balance. And so that's an individual implementation. I'm curious, when you say play music in the ICU, it's one of the questions as a conscious dying doula. I remember talking to my parents and saying, what kind of music would you want to listen to if you were in a coma? And my dad telling me he wanted to listen to jazz. So when he died last year in the ICU, I put jazz next to his ear, but I knew that because I'd asked him. So I'm curious what you know, when you say play music, that's a very large, you know, spectrum there. Is there certain music that you've studied that actually decreases galactin 3?
You know, it's not only galactin. It's a great question, and you're, you know, I'm highly trained in Chinese medicine, so I rely on pulse diagnosis.
Yes,
it's really some. The conversation is the preparation for the pulse. So you know, it's very individual, which is very important, because we often want to impose things that are good for us on other people, right? Each one has their own thing. But there's something about the rhythmic, about the pace. There's something about, about the kind of music. There are musics who are more based on the five elements, more on five sounds, so they more have a different balancing. But in general, any music that makes a person very relaxed and creates space within them, because our healing journey, and it's so relevant for autoimmunity, but for every disease, our healing journey is a journey of letting go. That's really what life is about. So we come to this world, we let go, we exhale and cry. We leave this world, we take our last exhalation and we let go.
Yeah.
And whole our life, it's about not about trying to go back to the letting go. When we think about something, when we focus, when we have an opinion, we are holding to something. We lose the recognition that everything is changeable. And in this sense, every
impermanent, the
basis, right, of the Asian spiritual journeys. I'm staying more like general without permanence, but obviously
we're letting go of clinging.
Exactly.
Clinging.
We know. So if we look at now, we look into our body. Mm-hmm. And we recognize, wow, we have close to, I'm rounding up a little bit, 50 trillion cells in the body. Not million, not billion, trillion. And each cell, and I didn't know until I looked it up, has between hundreds of thousands and million reactions a second. Mm-hmm. Just imagine, okay? And we are still alive. We are still talking right now. That's totally a miracle. And the reason is, that our body recognizes that it is working as a whole. So while every cell wants to survive, because every cell has a membrane, a boundary, and every cell decides what it takes in and what it puts out, right? Just like we do, what we're gonna eat, we're gonna breathe, etc. But the cell recognizes that it has a relationship with its environment. When it loses this recognition, when it wants to go into an individualized survival response, it says, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to isolate myself from the environment, create my own nourishment, change my metabolism. When this happens, this is what you call a cancer cell. And this is also what you call an autoimmune cell that decides to be independent, becomes inflammatory, and starts attacking people in a different way than cancer does. Because it can quicker have a systemic effect than necessarily to expand itself locally, but it's a very similar approach. The only organ that functions differently, that takes all the toxins from the perspective of the cells, everything that comes to it from the past, because when it gets to the heart, it's already been released by the cells with our heart. And our heart, instead of creating a membrane and deciding what comes in, connects with the universe through our lungs. And we can see some autoimmune diseases that are lung, kidney related, like good posture and other diseases. We connect with the universe. Our drama for the universe is insignificant.
Yes.
It takes it in, and that's why we have to respect our universe. When the universe becomes toxic, it doesn't heal us anymore. And then what does the heart do? It gives blood without discrimination. Because the aorta is a stiff artery. And it's an image that I discovered, and I share it because it wow for me every time. The first organ the heart nourishes is itself, so the coronary artery. So the heart nourishes itself in order to nourish others and as part of nourishing others. And that's why there is such profound healing in connecting with it, because as you said, we connect with the impermanence, because the heart doesn't stop thinking. The moment the heart stops, it stops the flow that everything is changeable. We are dead.
Yeah.
And in this sense, we know that like in meditation and healing retreats, the autoimmune patients are the ones which will have a very dramatic response because they move out of the survival response. So this survival response is basic. We all fall into it. I fall into it. Everybody that's listening falls into it. It's part of our existence. So transforming it and freeing it is the deepest, deepest healing that is not so easy to come by. But prior to it, we have to say, how do we reduce the survival situation? And that's what you mentioned, right? Diet, good hydration, lifestyle. And we have to be aware what is driving us into survival. So one of the biggest areas is toxins and pesticides and heavy metals and mycotoxins.
Feelings of not feeling safe. I've noticed that in all my autoimmune patients.
Completely, because safety allows survival to melt. When we feel safe, we don't need to survive. So for example, if you look at Hawaii, in Hawaii, there is great harmony. It's called paradise. So in Hawaii, the plants are very friendly. They are not aggressive plants. They don't need to. For example, I raise bees as a hobby. I used to raise many years, and I see it as a great image of selflessness because the specific bee is part of a bigger community. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's really what we talked about. But I had some queens who came from Hawaii, and they didn't survive in Sonoma County in California because they were used to this very harmonious environment, you know? So our survival, so the more we can shift to this harmonious response, the more our body will heal and become at peace. And it's not only the diseases go away, our quality of life improves. Yeah. And so we see it through aging, for example, centenarians have a lower level of galactin 3 compared to people in their 70s and 80s, despite the fact that the 70, 80 include some people who are going to become centenarians. Hmm. So that's another example. So yeah, so understanding this not only from a conceptual, but in my book, The Survival Paradox, I explain it. And then I go through galactin 3, and then I go what it does metabolically, inflammation, circulation, and then how the heart can change it. And then, which is really the survival of the heart, is to keep nourishing us without discrimination. That's why it's such a big healer in every tradition, you know?
Yes.
And when we realize it, and then I go through every group of diseases, including autoimmunity, when I explain, and then what to do. So we really need to address the issue of detoxification both on a constant level and in more periodical focus. And Ayurveda is one of the ultimate detox system because it's much more than a one-way cookie cutter. You know, it takes into consideration constitution and environment and weather and time of the year and age that are often not taken in straightforward, formulaic detoxification. And in my book, in the chapter on detoxification, which I will offer also to the summit people, this chapter, it's important to understand the detox process is magical and it's happening all the time. Every time we exhale, we detox. Every time we inhale, we nourish, and our exhalation is twice as long as our inhalation. So we detox more than we nourish. And then the transformation happens in between. So when we look at it from a poetic point of view or a physiological point of view, we can bring it all the way to the cellular level, to the membrane, all the way to the mitochondria. Because in the mitochondria, if the cell inside feels threatened in survival, then hypoxia-inducing factor jumps up, mTOR1 goes up, pyruvate kinase, PDK gets activated, no pyruvate can get into the mitochondria. You don't produce energy through aerobic metabolism and you go into a very inefficient disease-driving metabolism. So there are so many layers. And if we recognize it, we each can find in our own journey, just like you said, what works for us with very simple things like we got to address galactin 3. And, I've quietly researched it for a decade and didn't spend the time explaining it. But now after almost 30 years of research, I feel comfortable talking about it more. And also, how do we change our life? Like, can we close our eyes and feel how somebody who has an opposing opinion to us feel, and we can accept it and say, look, it comes from their set of genetics, epigenetics, belief system. And even if I don't agree with it, and even if objectively I don't think it's supported, that's their reality. And how do we bridge? And once we bridge and we have a flow, then the joint space is not inflamed and autoimmunity just melts away.
I think this is a very important point that you're making, because in the field of humanity, the grid that we all belong to, when, you know, the ecosystem that has its own boundary and begins to have a life of its own, like cancer, we're doing that with one another when we become polarized. So, you know, the energetic grid that we're all part of, we need to learn how to do what you just said, where people can accept and learn to see differing opinions as just a balance inside of the energetic field instead of something that makes them feel unsafe. Because I'm seeing that that's a lot of what's going on politically. People feel unsafe, you know, when someone's expressing an opinion that's different than theirs, instead of, you know, saying, oh, that's just another thought construct. You know, it's just another thought construct. And, you know, when that feeling of not being safe because other people think differently than you do, that just makes you sick, and it makes our society sick. Completely. So there's no positive outcome to that way of being.
Right. You know, it's so, what you brought, safety, is a fundamental shift.
Yep.
It's the whole body relaxes. And one of the easiest ways to do it is to take a few deep breaths. Because the moment we have more oxygen in our body, the cells can relax. The moment we are not oxygenated well, the cells go into a crisis. And different organs, of course, as you know well from Ayurvedic medicine, different organs will reflect in different ways and different emotions. You know, not functional doctors, not necessarily have this understanding, like pure biochemical functional doctors, but we are not biochemistry. Biochemistry is an expression of who we are.
Yes.
And we really have a choice. You know, there's a beautiful saying in Hebrew, which I like actually to quote in Hebrew often. It says, "Akol tzafui v'arashut netuna," which means everything is predetermined. That's our genetics. Arashut netuna, we have the choice. That's our epigenetics. And moving from survival to safety is a choice. It's a choice that sometimes is easier to do when you're in a very peaceful place, and it's more challenging to do when in difficult times, but we internally always have a choice. And sometimes we are successful, sometimes we are not. Everything is impermanent, but the good news, we can change our response in the next breath.
Yes.
The next thought. And if we do it long enough, suddenly the inflammatory markers start coming down because the driving force is going down. Now, when I say driving force of galactin 3, if you look at my research in sepsis, you will see in the animal sepsis model that galactin 3 goes up only doubles. Interleukin 6 will go up 1,000-fold. 1,000-fold. Because you need a very small change at the top to create a whole waterfall of cascades of cytokine. And that's why trying to chase the cytokine at the bottom is a losing proposition. It's like putting a bucket in a waterfall and trying to make sure it doesn't get the flow wet. Yeah, if you can shut it at the top, no water is going to come down, you know? And your term of safety is one doorway, which is a big way. Part of safety is acceptance. If we accept things we usually don't accept, we feel more safe because we're not threatened. And if we can change reactivity to responsiveness by understanding, like you said, where people come from, and instead of getting upset about it, we open our love, our heart. That's like the heart nourishes. The heart gets all the junk and it doesn't say, oh my God. No, it just nourishes and nourishes. Suddenly, we have a responsiveness of love and compassion. It transforms that. And I see it in retreats in a few days. I see it in myself when I'm in the right space. It's amazing how my health will transform itself, you know.
I can tell you it's what helped me get through COVID quicker. I'm on day 8 of COVID right now. And in the first 3 days, I was pretty sick. And just seeing the virus as an act of love that is there to teach me about impermanence and having compassion for impermanence itself and the human condition. It transformed everything. Amazing. Rather than contracting around fear and anxiety and, you know, all of those things. It was just a constant bringing back to recognition that everything that I label not love is actually not true. You know, everything is love, bringing it to the heart, you know, and pulling that through with every single thought, which is a choice with every breath. And, you know, letting go of any clinging to things being different. And that I got better pretty quickly. So yeah, I think that that's a really powerful way of getting better. And now I can see what was going on.
No, it's remarkable, because what happened when you did it, you moved away from the survival, fear yeah. drives survival. Well, the spiking protein, the spike protein of the virus is practically identical, guess to what? To galactin 3. Mm. But the virus also wants to survive. The highest density of galactin 3 receptors is in the lungs. So if we look at COVID, the level of galactin 3 at time of admission in the emergency room, regardless of the extent of the disease in the lungs or the severity of the illness, will determine who will end up in the ICU and who will die. Very good, large study from Mexico City, done already in 2020. So when you look at something that blocks galactin 3, you both have the attenuation of the cytokine storm and you have the blockage of galactin 3. Now, what you did, you had the capacity and the training. You know, it's one thing to think like this. You know, catch 22, I write it in my book. You know, it's the flow of catch 22. We can think like this, but inside we don't feel like this. You were able to feel like this. So your process came from the inside out.
Yes.
And as it went through all your cells, you created space within your cells. You know, I told you my story about getting sick 45 minutes before teaching a 7-day retreat to 150 people who are in the big hall, and after 2.5 years in Israel, and I just let go. And 2 days later, I was antigen negative and I was quite sick, my gosh, because I taught the day before to a few hundred people in one day. And so yes, it's the power of letting go. And it's challenging because it's contradictory to our survival drive.
Mm-hmm. But and it's really, the benefit really of practice, you know, this is the place where practice comes forward and you get the fruits of it.
Totally.
Yeah.
And it's an as you know, I know, we all know, it's an ongoing process.
Yeah.
It's a process. There is no end spot. You keep moving, because the moment you freeze, oh my God, look at my meditation, look at my mind, and you hold to it, it's no longer flowing.
No.
You turn the water into ice. So the approach, as long as we flow and we don't hold, then we have the power of healing. And one of my favorite saying that I often use is, not everybody is going to be a miracle, but anyone can be a miracle, because everything is changeable. And it's because everything is changeable in its essence. You know, quantum physics knows, the understanding of reality knows it. We can't hold to time. And time comes from all directions. I don't want to get into this, but actually time can also comes from the future.
Right.
When I do my healing work and I teach meditation, it's a big component. But as long as we realize it, then everything is possible. And if the tissue and the trauma and the pesticides and the heavy metals that caused a reaction in a certain tissue, in a certain, that created an immune response, can be turned off, we can see a change in autoimmunity. And in this sense, you know, there's a lot of use now of IVIG, you know, in autoimmunity. I use therapeutic apheresis because I'm a disruptor in the field. It's what I have grants and a lot of inventions. I'm working on a development of a column that will remove all galactin 3 out. But right now I'm moving more inflammatory compounds. And what happens when you change the environment of the plasma, after the first treatment, it's very interesting. Everybody does like one treatment like once a week or whatever. And you do another one very close by, 2 days later, you will think, wow, the plasma is really cleaned, right? No, there is much more dumped into the waste bag because the tissue is letting go. So when we reduce the inflammation in the blood, in the plasma, and a little bit in the tissue, we move the body, just like you said, the tissue, from survival to safety. And suddenly, for example, the liver, even if it's challenged and doesn't have 100% capacity, we clean the backup for the liver. It can finally do its daily work with a little bit of help. And suddenly the tissue changes and we change. So again, therapeutic apheresis is more of an extreme treatment. It's expensive, it's specialized filters, it's similar to dialysis, it's a real specialty. But the concept is similar. The more you can move into this safety role, the more you can create space and hold it long enough, eventually, as you know, the tissue is going to change.
That's beautiful. I think that what we're talking about is a little antithetical in people's minds to what they're trying to achieve in terms of survival. Right. And, you know, that becomes, I can see why you call it the paradox. In the quantum cell of time, you know, the one that was conceived and the one that will die is all together in a cell of time, not linear, but all available right there. And, you know, the more that you can heal any places that the young one didn't feel safe, then the future one is healthier. Completely. So, right? So it's, but it feels so like with COVID for me, letting go, it's like practicing dying, practicing letting go. I think that's an important practice that we don't in our culture ever land on.
You are getting into deep waters. I mean, we are getting into deep waters. So I talk a lot about it. Sometimes
I know you and I want to have tea with you.
No, I teach, you know, it's absolutely correct. And often you're not allowed to talk. You know, I talked in America, in a Cancer Control Society, the very alternative a conference for cancer with all the clinics from Mexico. And I used to lecture there in the 90s. And I talked about medicinal mushrooms, which was like the new thing. And then I took off my jacket and I told people, you know, I want to talk a little bit about death and dying.
Yeah.
And I was pulled off the stage after 3 or 4 minutes, but dozens of people came for the little bit I spoke and said, thank you so much. Yeah. So the more we let go, the longer and healthier we live. Letting go, in order for something new to come, the old thing has to die.
Yeah.
Has to. In Chinese medicine, longevity is how different you are every second. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we can live 100 years and we had a very short life, or we can be Mozart, who lived 30 years and had an endless life that people are still celebrating, you know? So this is why time is so illusory. But on a practical level, we also discussed some very practical, you know, advice on the level. And of course, we can go into greater detail about it now, second interview, but it's for me. And you know, I wasn't as aware that I got a great partner. I can't often talk about it. It's how I live my life, you know, for decades. Mm-hmm. But you are really bringing to the forefront, and you know, in a more simplified language that I'm able to. So I thank you for bringing it to. This is really where ultimate healing happens.
Yeah,
that's really an ultimate healing happens in the heart. And that's why there is relative healing and there's ultimate healing. But the more we are connected to this place, the relative healing will happen anyway, because as you said, in the quantum example, future, past, it's all the same. Yeah. Whatever, like you said, is profound sentence that you recognize with the COVID, because it's a great letting go, is that everything is love. Because love is an expression of this essence of, we call it emptiness in Buddhism or impermanence or the divine within us, you know, that's the expression within our body. When we go into our thought, our ego, our struggle, we get disconnected. So many people are disconnected. I get disconnected. with all my training, when we connect to the heart is always connected. The electromagnetic field of the heart is 100 times bigger than the brain. You know, it gets to every cell in our body. So when you connected with love, every cell in your body was getting love and hug and compassion and safety. And people around us get it. We can feel, right, when somebody's
heart. Yeah, connect to the global heart, to exactly. each other.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's really the medicine for the heart, for the world.
Yeah.
And often I say, wow, why am I talking about it? You know, when I was in the Himalayas, and I don't go into the countries for political purposes, and this great teacher said, look, you got to talk about it in the future. And the West said, what are they talking about? I'm like this Israeli Jewish guy. But when it's very dark, every small light, it really shines, you know? So I think within this time of divisiveness, just like the yin and yang, there is always an option. But if we push the rubber band too much, it is going to get cut, you know?
Yeah.
And we can see it right there with the environment, with the inflammation in the environment. What is global warming? It's inflammation on a global scale, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a reflection of our own inner processes. And so these are quite some times for the world. It's worrisome on one level and exciting in the other level because we can make such a difference, you know?
I agree. Dr. Elias, it's been a very big pleasure. And I appreciate the honor of being able to talk to you. And we have another interview coming, and I'm very much looking forward to it. So
thank you so much.
All right, everybody. Until next time, be well.